This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
A tale of two shopping seasons. From Marketplace, I'm Sabri Benishor, in for David Brancaccio. As we inch ever closer to the holiday shopping season, the latest retail sales numbers are coming out later today, and the question is whether they will be an early present for the economy or not. Deloitte did a survey of shoppers recently, and turns out overall spending is probably going to be up compared to last year, but that extra spending is coming mostly from higher-income households. So if you dig below the surface, you find that many lower-income households are heading into quite a different holiday season. Marketplace's Caroline Champlin has more on that.
Last year, about 5% of people said they didn't plan to spend any money on holiday gifts or experiences, according to a Deloitte survey. This year, that's doubled. 11.5% of people say they're planning to sit out holiday spending altogether. Rod Sides with Deloitte says the majority responding that way make below $50,000.
The lower income folks, they're seeing things like rents rise, they're seeing food prices rise, they're finding fuel prices rise. And so the impact of that is they just have less left to spend.
And Deloitte also found from its survey of retailers that deals and promotions may be harder to find this year. Professor Priya Raghubir is with the NYU Stern School of Business.
That will probably hit those who look for deals the most or who need deals the most. And it is likely to be those with a lower income.
The percentage of people who say they don't plan to spend money this season is at a 10-year high. I'm Caroline Champlin for Marketplace.
So as Caroline was just talking about, a lot of lower-income households are having a rough time, and that's driving some to food banks and food pantries. Demand rose 55% during the first year of the pandemic, you might recall. But those same food pantries are dealing with something all of us are dealing with, inflation and supply chain problems. Marketplace's Amanda Peacher has more.
Food pantries are serving a broader range of clients these days.
We're seeing a lot of middle-income people.
Pastor Joe Young runs a food bank in Charleston, Mississippi.
Can they say, Brother Joe, I've never asked anyone for anything.
Inflation has led a lot of people to this point. Since October of last year, the price of milk has climbed more than 8%. A dozen eggs is up nearly 30%. Food banks are having to make hard choices.
So we're not purchasing ground beef.
Susanna Morgan runs the Oregon Food Bank. She also factors in more than the price of food.
We're not bringing sweet potatoes from Georgia to Oregon because the cost of transportation is so high.
So are labor costs. Jason Lusk, an agricultural economist at Purdue, says he doesn't see elevated wages at meat processing plants, for example, going down anytime soon.
Until we can sort those things out, I don't think we'll return to normal.
And while grocery prices stay high, normal will look different to many people for some time. I'm Amanda Peacher for Marketplace.
All right, let's do the numbers. The FTSE in London is up 0.2%. Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ futures are in the not doing a whole lot range, with the Dow future up less than 0.1%, just 25 points. 10-year Treasury yield is at 1.602%. All right, some good news. In the first half of 2021, wages and salaries rose at their fastest pace in more than 20 years. You can thank partly the tight labor market for this. Employers are scrambling to find people. But not only are wages rising, they are becoming, in many cases, more visible to everyone. There's a growing movement to require companies to be more transparent about what they pay to whom. Harriet Jones reports from Connecticut, which is one of the latest states to pass a law aimed at making what we earn a little more public.
Michael Kerrigan is Director of Human Resources for Interactive Brokers, a financial services firm in Greenwich, Connecticut.
The hiring market is pretty crazy.
He's been involved in more than 750 new hires this year.
The salary negotiation seems to be coming much sooner. If you don't make a decision on someone relatively quickly, they'll be gone.
And the task of negotiating salary just changed significantly. Seven states so far have passed a new kind of law aimed at pay equity, including Connecticut just this year. Employers must tell job candidates up front, if they ask, the range of pay for the position. That's to even the playing field, especially for women and people of color. But Kerrigan says it's left him scrambling to keep up.
If someone comes in, we really want them, we'll give them the pay that they want. And now we just change our range again. Now we have to go back out to that job and just say the range is different.
His firm is now reviewing its entire compensation structure every month, offering raises to existing staff so they stay in step with new hires. David Lewis is seeing the same thing at many companies already stretched to the limit by the pandemic.
This is the biggest revolution I've lived through in my lifetime and probably will.
Lewis's firm, Operations Inc., handles HR services for more than 1,000 different companies.
Most companies can safely say that employee A doesn't know what employee B is making. These laws change that.
A change that aims to give job seekers an advantage. Biota McDonald lives in Connecticut, but she just got a remote job in Chicago, so she didn't benefit from the new law. She says knowing the hiring company's pay range would have reassured her she wasn't underselling herself.
For me as a woman of color, it was difficult to bring myself to negotiate, but then being able to get the range up front, I can see something like that making a huge difference.
The competitive market did give her a boost. Her salary and signing bonus offer put her at 70% more than the job she left. But of course, she doesn't know how that compares with her new colleagues. In Hartford, I'm Harriet Jones for Marketplace.
Our producers are Rose Conlon, Meredith Gerritsen, Stephen Ryan, Alex Schroeder, Daniel Shin, and Erica Soderstrom. In New York, I'm Sabri Benishore with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.